I was coming home from work. I was getting out of the exit, and it's kind of like a long light. And like this truck pulls up behind me as like the light turns red. Dude opens his door and he's just standing there. I'm like,
standing?
I'm like, yeah.
Like gets out of his car?
Gets out of his car and is standing. I'm like, what's he doing? Am I have to fight this guy for some reason?
Oh shit!
But now I'm like, is he taking a piss? And then like I like look and he's got the little puddle little going. Stream. I'm like, dude, just dropping trout and like take a piss at the red light. And then my mental timer, I'm like, it's about to turn green. does he cut off stream or is he finish? I don't know.
He's got to finish.
He's got to.
Yeah. Can you cut off stream? I think.
Like, I've never had to, but.
I think I needed to once under pressure, and I was like, I didn't know I had that ability.
Sometimes I'll cut off stream to move to a different urinal.
No, you don't.
If someone comes next to me, I'm like, no, sir.
You're midstream and you're like, ooh, I'm going to go to this open one. Make sure like, there's that buffer.
Be like, bro, there's five other ones. You had to get the one next to me.
Sometimes I'm at the super low one at like Costco or whatever. Yeah, the kid one. And then one opens up and I'm like, got to make the move.
Yeah.
I have to like go around somebody to get to the next one.
Yeah, you don't want like piss on your ankles, you know, with all the splash.
Dude, I went into some bathroom and some dude was in the stall peeing. But he had like the door just like cracked open, like he didn't close it all the way and lock it.
Oh yeah.
And so I went in there and he was peeing, and I was like, "What the fuck, dude? Just like close
it's either,
it."
It's either have it wide open or lock it.
Yeah, have it wide. Yeah, just commit to something because I was like about to. What if I really needed to go? And I was like, "Oh, thank God, this is open." I slammed it open.
You know what's a fucking nightmare bathroom? Is like bathrooms that are like at parks, you know,
where they like a stone wall.
They don't even have doors. Yeah.
It's like a half wall.
And you like, you walk up, you make eye contact with someone shitting.
Yeah. It looks like this.
And like, God forbid you're the one that has to shit, you know?
Yeah.
I just know I'll be in a situation where like Lucas has to shit and we're at a park and I'm like,
it's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Not just like be security while he shits.
It's a, what's it called? What's the Spider-Man thing? It's a moment.
Responsibility?
No.
Canon
moment.
Canon whatever. Event.
Yeah, canon event. I think every parent has to go through it.
Yeah. That's fair.
You ever shit yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm an adult.
I did it once. And I was thankfully alone, but I was in my car.
Are we telling shitting yourself stories?
No. But it's only happened to me once.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, this is a comic book show.
If you take anything from this episode, never trust a fart. You know?
I do all the time. I like to gamble.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Comic Book Podcast, the Trade Readers Podcast, the Comic Book Club, where we read a different trade paperback, different manga every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics, mangas.
We read mangas. Not sayonara. Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa.
Sumimasen.
How are we feeling? boy.
I love the.
That's like the best episode.
I know. Yeah. The behind the scenes was so good. China and Japan are a different country.
Really?
So bad.
We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Blame. We got Back Matter Matters in the poll list, but we start with the news. What kind of news you got?
Daniel, huh? Rogue One, the Star Wars movie, is turning 10 years old.
Show is.
And they're going to be doing one-shots for some of the characters on there. There's going to be five different one-shots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to start with Andor. In case you wanted to know more about Andor, this is the only way you can find out more about Andor.
The fucking balls to try and put out a one-shot after the show.
I know. What the hell? Well, it's going to be written by Ben Percy and drawn by Luke Ross. I think all of them are.
No.
No,
there's different creative teams.
Then maybe just the Cassian Andor one.
That is like the most stacked team, I would say.
Yeah, I didn't see the. I didn't know they released the teams for the other ones.
Yeah, I saw it, but I didn't like write it down.
Okay, well, I know that they're also going to be doing the Forrest Whitaker character.
Yeah, hold on.
Seems like Drudge.
Shut up. It's not Grief Karga, is it?
Oh, Grease. No.
Shaw? It's something Shaw? Shaw Guerrera?
Saw Guerrera.
Saw Guerrera.
Nice. Got there.
Kind of.
I wouldn't have gotten there.
Guerrero sounds like a Mexican last name. I know Guerrero.
So but... it's feminine.
Yeah.
The feminine version. There's also going to be the two Asian, the not Asian guys, the two guys.
There's no Asians.
Star Wars. They're not Asians. They're fucking on some planet. But the guys that like, maybe they're gay for each other. Who knows? But they're like, they act like the old couple.
Yeah.
They're the best ones. The guy with the big gun. They're
big homies.
They are big homies.
And there's a Darth Vader one?
Yeah, what is that?
He's in Rogue One.
Well, like, isn't the one shot of him just either Star Wars or the prequels?
Essentially, but
what the hell are we going to know? How he got onto the ship?
I guess so. I was really wondering.
Yeah.
It's better than, like, the Ben Mendelsohn's character. Because it'd be boring.
That is true.
I feel like only a couple years ago, they had, like, these one-shots of these Rogue One characters. Like, there's a K2SO one. Oh, isn't there a Jyn Erso one, too?
Jyn Erso is the name I was trying to remember. But I think there is. So
I've probably watched Rogue One more recently than you have.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 movie.
Dude, so good. I think it's my favorite Star Wars movie.
It's like, it should be.
Yeah.
Because it's so fucking good.
It fucking rules.
I was like crying at the end. And, dude, and Sarah didn't get it, you know?
On my rewatch, I cried on the rewatch, but I was like at the gym. I was walking on a treadmill. And I was like, let me try watching a movie. I cried at the gym. Grown ass man.
I was like moving shit around and it kind of fucked up everything. It feels like, like I had a spot for that thing, but I filled the spot with the thing.
Oh.
Monstrous, Nathan.
Yep.
A comic. Getting an animated series on Amazon.
Cool. You ever read that?
No.
I tried. I didn't like it as much as I thought I was going to. I remember it was dominating Eisner's for a while.
Definitely. I'd be open to it, you know, but it's like, when would we? I guess we got a reason to read it, you know, in 2 years when this comes out.
I'll give it a try, but I remember I didn't like it, but it was early into my comics reading, and I was about to go into work at the Amazon warehouse at like 8 p.m. So.
Maybe if you know you didn't like it at first, you might end up liking it more the second time around.
I think so.
You know?
I think
because then you don't have you have like some expectations of what it is, mm-hmm. you know, and so you can like it for that. Like
right. And I know
magical monster thing.
And I know it's praised. Like the streets are saying it's good. And I feel like I probably have, I don't know.
I feel like the streets are pretty accurate.
I think so, too.
Like, if we've, like, never heard of a comic, it's probably
not good.
Not
no, worth it. That's only been not true, like, a couple times in the course of the show.
Yeah, we haven't really found, like,
it was
underrated comics, like, it was sleeper like, picks, you know?
Yeah, like, Bird King was, like, the only one that really comes to mind that was, that like, is, this like, is way better than I fucking expected it to be.
Yeah, and like it still feels like no one knows it.
Yeah, I know. That's true ball knowledge.
Nathan, did you ever finish season one of Marvel Zombies?
Nope.
Well, you can catch up for season two.
Season two, they're doing more of it?
I guess so.
What the fuck?
It's so random.
Did you finish it?
Yeah.
Is there a season two opportunity?
I don't know. Maybe, yeah. I mean,
how did it end? Spoilers, by the way.
Day was saved, probably. I don't remember. Like, there's like no
glowing review.
There's nothing that would happen that would like just mark a. There would just be like a bookmark to be like, oh, there needs to be
that's
more.
The end.
It'll just be like a completely different set of characters, probably.
Whatever actors they could get.
But basically, whoever they can get for a season, all in the same room or at the same time. And not even the same time, around the same time.
You're going to get like David Desmalshin to come back.
Yeah, dude. T.I.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it'll be something like that. And like, I don't think they've like established everyone who's dead, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And they can throw in new characters if they want and have whoever they want voice acting.
You're right. Very true.
Yep.
There's going to be another digital only DC Marvel crossover. It's going to be Supergirl and Blade, which is going to come in April. This year, which makes me think that we knew about it already.
No, that is this week news.
It's going to be written by a guy named or girl named CRC Payne with art by Mikhail Janin and Hugo Petrus.
Wow,
so that's pretty cool.
So, is it?
It'll be free to read.
Is it called? Oh,
for the first 30 days with a DC Universe Infinite registration. So, not necessarily a subscription, I think.
Yeah.
You just got to sign up with your email. And
it'll probably go to print eventually because I think those other ones, the digital exclusive ones, will go to print.
Oh, do they? That's cool.
So
Oh, yeah. It's a digital first crossover initiative. There was another one. I think it was like Jeff the Shark and Aquaman or something like that.
Okay. You know how CGC creates comics?
I don't know how, but I know that they do.
And there's also CBCS,
mm-hmm.
who also creates comics.
Is there a third one?
There's like a third company that like grades cards mostly, but I think they can grade comics.
Mm.
But I haven't seen very many in like any graded slabs from them, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like PLX or something. But CBCS is closing.
What?
They were acquired by somebody and they're just
no way
down. Yeah.
Like a collection, like a collector's company type thing, or
I think so, yeah.
Mm, interesting.
I think it's like,
so CGC's gonna, do you think that CBCS graded comics are gonna be more expensive?
I fucking
now?
Doubt it.
Because like you can't even get this anymore. It's gonna be some shitty comic.
People didn't even give a shit about it when you could get it. You know?
Still don't give a shit about it, yeah.
I
would pay less for a CBCS than I would a CGC, even though it's probably the same thing. I think CGC rolls off the tongue better.
Yeah. And then the CGC ones just kind of look better, I think. Maybe just because we're just used to...
What is that? Is that CGC?
Yeah.
Your Paper Girls?
Yep.
That's so cool.
Yeah, you got it. Because the CBCS is like yellow, you know?
Yeah, like, it's like what?
Yuck!
That's gross. Give it blue.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
Yeah, that's... Well, it'll be less annoying for me when I go hunt for stuff at cons that I'll never buy.
Yeah, I hate seeing them. I'm like, I don't get this shit out of here. Even if it's like a 9.8 or something I want. I'm no, thank you.
I'm knocking off at least $20 off of this price.
Swamp Thing is getting an omnibus. It's called Swamp Thing Dark Genesis. It's going to be two like hardcovers that go in like a slipcase. And it's the Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson stuff.
Cool.
I think it's like most of the stuff before Alan Moore. And I guess it's got a couple like unreleased issues that are going to be in it too.
Why does he have so many unreleased issues?
I don't know. Why does DC just hold on to some
Jesus
shit?
In those ones too?
I don't think so. But no, that's coming out November 24th.
I think Len Wein and Bernie Wrightson are the co-creators, aren't they?
I know Len Wein is. I don't know if Bernie is. Because there's other writers and artists.
Bernie Wrightson, yeah.
Really? That's cool.
He's considered co-creator, yeah.
That's pretty dope.
So, yeah, I feel like that was like the main creative team, and then it was like the Alan Moore stuff.
Hmm.
Or that's just what I know. I should get more into something.
Yeah.
I probably like it.
We should do an episode.
We haven't done one.
No.
Whoa.
I figured we could do one in October. It's kind of like horror, I guess.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
Or we can just do it whenever, really. Any more news from you?
Nope, I got nothing else.
Okay, I don't know how this works, but John Byrne had on like his website or something, it's a series called X-Men Elsewhen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what if X-Men stories? And
is he selling them?
And it's going to be coming out as like a hardcover, like a collection of the stories or whatever. And it's coming out through Abrams Comic Art.
What the fuck?
And I'm like, why didn't Marvel put this out? And
is that legal?
Is he even legally able to use these characters?
Mm.
But I don't know.
I think once you start mass distributing and making money off of it, you're not able to, but he probably got permission.
Probably, because I think he did X-Men for a while. So I don't know. It's just kind of weird. I'm sure there's an answer to it and it's coming out. So it's not like it's a big lawsuit or something. But.
Right. The answer is probably just, they were chill with it because he got some sort of written permission to do it.
Yeah.
Because it's not like Marvel's missing out on like a ton of money.
Right. Because it's pretty niche.
Yeah. You'd have to know about John Byrne, which is already, you're down to like 5,000 people probably. No, more than that. And then you'd have to know that he's still alive, that he has a website, and that he's doing this thing in general, and then pay for it. So.
Yeah. I mean, like the hardcover will be in like comic shops order, but like you could read them digitally or something, mm-hmm. like the pencils and whatnot.
That's cool. Good for him.
Yeah.
He's like, let me just fucking, is he writing and drawing it?
Yeah, I think so.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It looks kind of cool. Ace Sorted Crisis Events is getting reprints of the first 7 issues.
Cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. I think that's a good thing.
Good for them.
Yeah, put more stuff out. Reprint stuff.
Please.
If people buy it, make it available. I'm all about things being in print, you know?
Yeah.
Do we know that Giant Robot Hellboy is coming back?
No.
Well, Giant Robot Hellboy returns, Nathan.
No way.
July 22nd.
Dude, thank God. That's the best Hellboy thing I've read.
Hopefully.
Ever, probably, which is a crazy thing to say.
Hopefully, there'll be like a collection of all of it.
You would hope so.
Because there isn't one for then, the first run.
We could finish Giant Robot Month.
Which is infuriating. Yeah. We'll bring it back.
Yeah, it does suck. Well, I mean, it was only like 3 issues, so it'd be a small trade for the original Giant Robot Hellboy.
What's up? Is it only 3 issues?
I think it was only 3 issues.
Yeah.
So.
All righty, Nathan, let's... What's the book we read?
We read Blame.
What'd you pick?
I picked Blame.
You picked it.
Tsutomu Nihei. Nihei.
Nihei?
Nihei.
Who knows?
I should figure it out. People are going to quiz me in Japan, I think. Nathan, random people on the street.
Nathan picked this because it's on Comixology Unlimited.
I did. No, well, that did contribute a little bit. But it was on one of the top, like, manga horror books on Amazon. So I was like, we'll try this.
You found a list on Amazon?
Yeah, it was like some sort of... If you go, like, onto the actual website... You can browse books by like a specific genre and it gets really specific.
Okay.
Like you can browse like gay manga, I think.
Nice.
I should have done that in hindsight. But there's like sci-fi horror manga.
Hmm.
I don't think I found this one there, but anyway. You wanted to do something that no one fucking knew about. Cause I suggested like, oh, Solo Leveling, and you're like, you've seen the anime.
Meanwhile,
you suggested Akira, and you have the whole fucking collection right here. And yeah. You read the first one already.
Well, that's different. I got to put you on, you know?
I can't put you on?
You did not put me on.
Not this.
You didn't know about this.
I thought, that's what I thought you wanted.
Oh, no. I mean, most of the stuff, there's a lot of stuff I haven't read, you know?
Solo Leveling.
Right, but that's different.
Why? Why is it different?
All right.
I don't understand your logic. You did this to yourself.
What do you mean? Did what?
You read Blame by yourself. No one read it to you.
We read the Master Edition, which is probably like the first 3 volumes.
Yeah.
I think these are the only ones that are like available digitally and in print.
Mm-hmm.
Basically just a deluxe volume that they do in America.
Yep.
What'd you think about this?
This shit's crazy.
it's crazy. Yeah, there's a lot going on. It's
kinda... I can tell that this guy really likes to draw... just crazy shit, and he doesn't care what the story is, I don't think.
He likes big stuff,
which is like kind of cool in a way. Like, he's just like, I don't care, like someone can make up their own headcanon, I just want to draw the cool thing and it'll kind of work out.
There's like a loose, you know, plot that seems like it ties itself together,
yeah,
you know, but when there's like 6 of these, you know, Master Editions, so you kind of have to have a lot to work with, you know, not just like...
I assume more gets expanded on as he's kind of like figured it out and thought about it. It just feels like to me, he's just like, let me make this crazy world. It doesn't all have to like make sense immediately. At least.
It's not like Gotham. You know?
Exactly.
I have a lot of general notes about it, but it seems like each chapter... was like an anthology in a way. Like, it didn't feel linear, no, really.
At least not for a while.
For a while, yeah. So I thought it was like different stories of this guy.
Guy walking around this weird ass place that couldn't possibly exist and no one would ever actually live in. You know what
right.
I mean? But yeah, it did feel like that. At least like halfway through, I'm just like, okay, this is disconnected from the last thing.
Right. Because when the last chapter would end, he didn't seem like there was any repercussions of what had happened.
Yeah.
And it was just back to him walking.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's... The art kind of takes some getting used to for me. Because it can be like kind of busy.
Yeah.
And kind of be like kind of a rougher style in some panels.
Yep.
It felt like mostly silent for a lot of this.
Yeah, basically it was.
It's like the most silent manga I've read, probably.
Cool.
It's pretty bleak as well.
Yeah, very...
No one's safe.
Very pessimistic a lot of the time.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, this everything sucks.
Everything sucks. You're going to work yourself to death.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. And androids are out to get you. Unless you have a big, cool gun, then maybe you'll live.
Did you feel like sometimes there wasn't like enough panels to like understand what was happening?
Yeah, some of the choreography I think went really fast.
Yeah.
Like there's too much I think to fill in like, or there's too much happening to really fill in the gaps between the panels.
Right.
Because there was, it would be kind of hard to like track people sometimes because of the way that he would switch the perspective of the fight. So some people get their head blown off and I'm like, oh, that seems like pretty important. But I'm like, oh, that's the other person that we want to die.
Yeah.
So there's stuff like that for sure.
There was like a lot of show and not tell. And exactly. That kind of like makes it creepier.
Yeah. There's some fucked up looking things in here.
Yeah. He's just walking. He sees like the most terrifying thing. He just keeps walking.
Yeah. I'm like, well, that's
what was that about?
Yeah, dude.
Shoot that or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like he's like just letting itself go. Like he left himself the opportunity to come up with the craziest looking guns, the craziest looking people.
Yeah.
And be like, this is just the world that he lives in.
It reminds me of like The Road. It's like anime, like, or like manga, The Road, where mm-hmm. like it's kind of post-apocalyptical and he's looking for something that he's not sure exists. And then like, it's just a lot of walking.
Yeah.
You know, and I also kind of felt like Japanese, like backrooms in a way.
Dude.
Because this is like just infinite. I don't know what he's in, but he like.
It's like a vertical backrooms.
Yeah. Well, there's like levels too. Right. And it's just like insane. Like he's. Like he's only known these walls. Mm-hmm. And
for some reason, they're against guardrails.
Yeah, exactly. Not a lot of safety measures gone into this.
Yeah, OSHA does not exist here. That's for sure.
Yeah, but anyway, do you have anything else?
No, let's get into it.
All right.
So each chapter is like a log. I think he's like logging his experiences as he's walking around. But there's this guy named Kairi, and he lives in this like big structural hellscape type thing, I guess. And it goes infinitely upwards and infinitely downwards, it seems. But Kairi and the little girl are walking around this big mega structure and they run into an android. Kairi shoots it and then they get hunted down by like two more android things that looked way more fucked up because they want genotypes from before the infection. So they manage to fight Kairi and they take the girl, but later the androids are attacked by other creatures and this allows Kairi to kill the androids and take back the girl who's now in this like weird skin cocoon thing. And that's like the end of the first chapter. But this really opens you up kind of unapologetically to this world. Because these two people that take this little girl are so fucked up looking. They look like the craziest cyberpunk, like cyber psychos or whatever they called them.
Yeah.
Like in their maximum like psychosis. But they're just like regular people, I guess.
Yeah.
Or at least the standard for this world.
So... Is there like a, you think there's like a person in there or you think it's just a robot?
I think these are probably androids, I would say.
Yeah.
Because I mean, a lot of the antagonists of this world are just android people. So that's probably what these guys are. But they have these very like eerie human looking face kind of tied to them. So
yeah,
pretty crazy. They're. Are hella stairs.
There's like slugs in this one.
Yeah, there's like weird slugs giant that have slugs. Guns that shoot. Like, and they have like multiple eyes. Like, it's really just some of the craziest designs you've ever seen. And I kind of respect that he just went balls to the wall with everything.
Yeah.
And like, you know, something shooting missiles at people. And they're walking up this like huge flight of stairs. And there's like these big statues and shit. He's just like, whatever looked cool is going to go in this book. And I think that's sweet. Because he really nails, I think, this dark fantasy sci-fi look. Like really well.
There's a dog.
There is. Is there a dog?
Yeah, that one person that was carrying that big thing.
Oh.
Right here. I don't know if I'm getting ahead of us, but.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it's the next chapter, but
yeah. The doggy, my bad.
So, yeah, so then log number two. There is like a girl in an elevator with her dog. And she suits up and meets Kyrie on just this random ledge. I don't know how he got there. He must have taken the elevator too. But she grabs the girl and puts her in some tech box to maybe like heal her. It's not really clear. He just kind of takes her. And then the girl tells Kyrie to go meet up with the other humans in the upper strata, which are like levels. And she tells him like, go find people. And then she leaves. Well, that's pretty much all that happens.
Yeah.
What is this whole procedure that she's doing? What's the dog for? Like, what is even happening? I guess so, just to be a friend.
So when we first see this girl or whatever, like, her chest isn't, like, on because she's, like, I don't know, a cyborg or something. And her arms reach back and, like, grab her back and just, like, pull her chest to the rest of her torso.
Yeah, I think that dog helps put on the arms.
Maybe.
So maybe it's a service dog. In that way.
Perhaps.
That's pretty cool.
It seems like the arms had it handled, but
yeah.
Who knows? And I just thought that was crazy.
It is a weird way to like put on your arms.
I'm like, yeah, I guess that's how that'd go.
Yeah, sure. So I guess these are like, yeah, prosthetic arms. Why is this like the only... Why is this only... This whole ledge is only accessible by this elevator. And who would want to go here?
I mean, there's like that big door, so maybe that leads to stairs.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, the architecture doesn't make sense.
It doesn't at all. It's like, how does it?
I feel like this is like megalophobia or something. Just because it's just like so unbelievably big that you can't like really see the end of anything anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and it just like continues on and on. You know?
Yeah, it's sort of just like extreme sci-fi. Like all these extreme sci-fi elements.
I kept trying to fucking define it, but like it, nothing really like made sense.
What's like the Cthulhu? What is that called?
Lovecraftian.
It feels like sci-fi Lovecraftian shit is happening in here.
I guess.
But what's funny to me is that they have this like ginormous structure that they're in, but there's so many exposed like pipes and wires. And
yeah.
Shit. And it's like, what do all those do? It's where like, do they go? And I know it's just detailed to fill the
cyberpunk almost.
Yeah.
Or like extremist in a way.
Yeah.
Because like when I know like cyberpunk isn't just whatever is in that game, but right. I still kind of felt wrong for defining this.
No, cyberpunk at least has
lights.
Kind of has some pink, you know, neon lights. But there's also some element of just like consumerism in there. It feels like.
Right.
And this is just like bleak. And like you are just in a part of a cog in this system of just this big mega structure.
So Kyrie like doesn't know what land is.
Yeah.
Cause this girl like says land for some reason. And he's like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like his whole existence has been in whatever this thing is.
Right.
What do you think? It's like a floating kind of structure or like a really giant building?
I don't know. It must be floating just based off what we find out later in the book.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. I just know it's really freaky. But in log three, it focuses on these like two siblings that are in suits and they're exploring outside the shelter where people normally go. So, there are civilizations of people in some spots of this big megastructure on certain levels, I think. Mm-hmm. And they need to escape some creatures that are called Watchers, and then they find Kyrie, who's just like unconscious. And so they bring him to the shelter, and when Kyrie wakes up, he asks for people with the net terminal gene. That's like his goal. He's just kind of walking around trying to find somebody with that. And then some Watchers make it into the shelter. The humans have to like evacuate, and Kyrie and Kashak, who's like one of the sibling people here, they go to a Watcher nest. I think it's a nest, and Kyrie shoots it with his like crazy cool gun that he has, and he kills the nest. And these Watchers are pretty crazy looking. They're like Wasp or like the Darkseid's fucking
Oh, parademons?
Parademons. They look like that, but the, yeah, the Zack Snyder version of them.
Yeah, so, like, he blows up, you know, a pretty big problem. You know, this nest of these Watcher things that are obviously causing a problem. And then the next log, he just is continuing walking.
Yeah.
Not with his new friends or whatever, just...
No, he hasn't made any valuable connections. It's like
maybe the next day? I don't know.
Yeah. I will say, though, that the lead up to the moment where he shoots his gun is really cool because it kind of zooms in on this cool angle and you see, like, everything coming after him. And then when he shoots it, it has so much impact and power that, like, blows him backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he does these moments, like, a lot of the silent action moments really well when he really locks in on what is supposed to be happening.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
He blew up the nest pretty fucking easily.
Yeah, his gun's crazy.
He must apparently just has the best gun.
I think he found the best gun, and that's why he wants to go on this journey to find the net terminal gene, because he's like, if I run into any trouble, I got this cool gun. We find out a little bit about it later, but yeah. I think the way it works is that it's really powerful, so it'll shoot through mostly anything, but it won't explode until it gets far enough, maybe. Because he shoots people point blank and it doesn't explode. So it's not on impact.
Well, I guess maybe humans aren't, like, combustible. I think that's where...
You think it has to be triggered by something specifically?
I think if there's, like, something flammable that he shoots, that will blow up, you know?
Got it. I can see that.
Yeah, and so I thought, like... So it seems like he's human, you know, but he's, like, super strong.
When is he... showcasing him being really strong?
Or I don't know if it was... I said humans are strong. Why did I say that?
I mean,
they're... Because, like, there's those people that he's with, like, the siblings, and they just pick up this, like, big, like, turret gun thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, this gun looks crazy.
It could be, like, the suits that they're wearing or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's probably something like that.
But he does have, like, some crazy, like, stamina. You're, like...
100%. If you're climbing that many levels, imagine all the stairs.
Or not stamina, but like
strength.
Something. I don't know. He seemed like he was just like super durable.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like he's not just like a human, you know?
Yeah, probably not. I do like this big gun because like, why is it connected to so many tubes?
Yeah.
Is it only to shoot this particular like staircase that it's aimed at?
Yeah, what's in the tubes?
Why? What's in the tubes? Why are there so many? Why isn't it mounted? Why do you have to pick this shit up?
Hmm.
Because it's not like you can move very far with it. It can only move as far as the tubes go.
Yeah.
And it's only like aimed at this one particular like catwalk that doesn't seem like there'd be a whole lot going on there. So,
right.
I just think it's funny. But then the next log is an X log, whatever that means. But it's basically just Kyrie walks around this whole mega structure, and he finds a room with some bars of what I think is like food, and then he finds some people in stasis pods, and Kyrie is found by some fucked up sentry gun with a face and gun barrels coming out of his eyes, and so Kyrie just kind of runs off, but he destroys it later. And some of these were like pencils, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that was interesting.
But yeah, I think you read this book to kind of just see a lot of the ideas that are in this dude's head, because what the hell is this sentry thing? It's so cool looking, so I'm like, I'm glad it's here.
Yeah.
But that's so funny that that's what it looks like in the context of the story.
But there's like cryogenic pods or something that are, it's like defending.
Yeah.
And so he just blows up everything.
Yeah, if there's people in there.
The people that are in there.
There are people in there, so I guess they're fucking done now. Or maybe they are some sort of like synthetic, maybe. Like maybe there's synthetics and androids and shit, but
yeah. But that, who knows? That first page where that thing shows up is such like a hell yeah moment.
It really
is. I'm like, I have no fucking clue, but it's you know it's bad.
This really is a hell yeah book. He slaps it as well, which I think is funny when it first shows up.
I'm sure that's a punch. It seems like he's making a fist.
Oh yeah, it is a punch actually.
You thought he just open hand slapped it?
I would. If that thing's in your face, I'd be like, oh Jesus.
No, I'm time to make a fist.
So then the next log, Kyrie's walking around and he finds a kid who says that there are people that are 40 strata up. So like 40 levels up. and he'll find some more people. And while he's talking to this kid, his head explodes, and there are three other people that confirm Kyrie is a human and not part of the administration.
And those people blew up the kid's head.
Yeah, those people blew up the kid's head.
A lot of kids die in this for some reason.
There are some child deaths, but I think that was like an android.
That doesn't make it that much better to see. This looks like a lot of blood, but it could be oil.
It could be oil. We don't know. It's a black and white book, Daniel. So the three other people confirm that Kyrie is a human and he's not part of the administration, which are the bad guys. I think we're just now finding out about that. And Kyrie says he's from 5,000 strata down. So he's looking for non-mutated people. And so they like kind of turn on him and they throw Kyrie's bag off the side, just kind of to fall for forever, it seems like. And then they leave him. And then there's another tweaked out looking kid that shows up and he kills all three of those other humans. And that's pretty much that issue. But I like that we get some kind of goal finally. I know that he was looking for this net terminal gene, but he's looking specifically for non-mutated people for whatever reason. But that's what he's looking for.
Yeah, that kid wiped him away in a couple pages.
The eyeball fucking flying out of this kid's head is so ridiculous. It's so just funny.
So those people that find him, they toss his bag like endlessly down.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's like, well,
and
shit.
Then they tell him not to come near them again.
Yeah.
But they were fucking with him. They went up to him.
They approached him.
Yeah.
Threw shit off the side and he's like, don't come near us.
Yeah. Like,
we're 40 levels up, by the way.
He was actually minding his own business.
Yeah. So I'm glad that they died. Punk kids, you know?
Yeah.
This is probably the best shooting scene so far, I think. There's a lot. But this is also one of the action sequences where it's like, what's happening?
Because there's like bullets or something that are just making these huge craters in like the, I don't know,
in the
floor that they're walking on. There's some handrails right here. That's something.
Yeah, that's new. Yeah, giant craters. There's like some fun like cartwheel that one of the people does to like take somebody down.
Yeah.
So very over-exaggerated, which is cool. But I don't know what these kids are, because they're clearly some sort of mutation.
There's so many like groups of people in this.
Yeah.
There's like punk kids, apparently. There's hunters. There's all kinds of shit. There's like builders or something.
Yeah,
later.
We see some builders later.
There's the administration. There's these kids that I don't know if they're like a part of the administration or something, or if they're just these rogue androids or something.
Android kids.
There are humans.
Yeah.
We get a cult later.
We do get a cult later. We get just some everyday workers.
Yeah, just fucking clocking in. Yeah. You know? And so it
kind of ridiculous.
It's like hard to, like, I guess there's the ones that are bad, like clearly look bad, mm-hmm. You know, those like the siblings or whatever in the last one, like they have like this armor that like only they have,
mm-hmm.
You know, and it seems pretty handy in this kind of world.
Right.
But everyone else is just like kind of humans, you know?
Yeah. They're just doing whatever humans do in this world, I guess. But in log 5, Kyrie's walking around. He finds the aftermath of just some super bloody battle. And there's one surviving girl that shows him the recording of the administration. A recording of the administration's exterminators killing everybody. And so they're like still lurking around this area that they're in. And so Kyrie puts this girl, who's clearly like an android or something, on her back. Or on his back. And tries taking her to the next settlement. But the exterminators attack them. And Kyrie barely makes it out alive, but the girl died from the attack. Or maybe it's a human?
It looked like a human, but
with her
like
legs? No legs?
Yeah, no legs, but the legs weren't bleeding either.
Yeah. It's a very Predator Badlands situation, maybe.
Yeah. I just kept thinking about like how heavy it probably was, because even though she lost her legs, there's still plenty of body weight there.
Probably like still 100 pounds.
Still 100 pounds, easy.
These exterminators look fucking crazy.
Hear me out, dude.
No, that's a crazy hear me out.
Look at his ass.
Oh my god, look at those. Yeah, that's true. I just I hate this panel where they're like kind of peeking around the corner.
That's when I'm like, this is a fucking horror book.
Yeah,
like,
it's yeah, exactly.
Because they're just these like shell faces that don't move.
Yeah.
You know? And they're terrifying.
Mm-hmm. And that shit's everywhere. I like that you can share video recordings with people.
Yeah, that was fun. Was that?
That's why I think that she's like maybe part android or whatever.
That makes sense. So
it gives them like a little.
So Herbie made of metal doesn't seem like it makes it that much easier.
Yeah. Yeah, she like snaps something out of her head, and then Kyrie connects something to it. He's able to see her perspective on something that happened.
Yeah.
And which was basically just a very bloody looking war with a bunch of exterminators.
Right. If this thing would work, hold on.
It seems like the writer artist is very fixated on how scary mannequins look.
Yeah.
Because all the scary people kind of look like parts of a mannequin. I wonder if there's a word for that.
Like the specific phobia?
Yeah, a phobia of mannequins.
Surely, right?
Yeah, probably.
And we all have it.
Nah, I could take a mannequin.
I guess turning landscape mode was too much.
Too much for your e-reader?
Yeah. This is a really sick page.
Yeah, that one's awesome.
It just kind of looks like it.
Just something fucked
some
up.
Some ship like crashed into the side of it.
Who fucking knows? How did and it get in like, there? What is it supposed to
it's
be?
It's got no effect on the structure integrity.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, this could be like a fucking Gundam for all we know, you know? Yeah.
Maybe it's like one of the builders that built the whole place. Who knows? But it is a cool page. So then the next log, this one actually seems like it picks up right after this last chapter, but Kyrie sees the exterminators fighting some people, and one of the fancy like androids there recognizes Kyrie, who says he found the place where they produce embryos and destroyed it.
So that was like
the think that was the Watcher Nest, maybe?
I think that's where the cryo chambers were.
Oh, that could be it too, yeah. And so Kyrie fights one of the exterminators, and he puts up a good fight, but he's shot and he falls down this like big duct, I guess, that throws him out of the big mega structure, but he lands on like some pipes and wires. But this was like a big shocker to me that he could leave this fucking place. And what was even a bigger shock is that it's not like it's floating or it's on a roof of something, or like I don't even know what to take from this.
Show me what you're talking about.
It's this big page right here.
Yeah.
He's very clearly fallen down this way. So it's like, what even are, where are we right now?
Well, it looks like it's coming out of a vertical structure, you know, and then a part above it, it seems like really big.
But
it kind of hangs over a bunch.
But I feel like a lot of these have an end, like a bottom to them that isn't connected to like the ground.
Right.
So I don't know how this world works. And that's okay. I don't need to. I just need to understand what's going on a little bit.
I guess we'll never know.
Yeah.
So he was fighting
this android girl.
Yeah, I guess these cyborg types are like silicone or something. We brought that up for some reason. And one of them shows up right next to him. And he like has the gun pointed at her. But he fires twice. And at this point, you don't know. It just has like unlimited bullets. And so I'm like, why'd you shoot her twice?
Yeah.
One would have done the fucking job. And it fucking destroys the building that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything crumbles around it.
Yeah.
Because she's right in front of a wall.
Not the smartest move.
Yeah. But clearly it's just like, I don't know.
He's got all the bullets he needs.
Some Halo gun that like just, it probably overheats but never runs out, you know?
Oh, yeah. I like that idea. There's,
or kind of like Battlefront. That's not, like you never run out of bullets in Battlefront. You just kind of
overheat the gun.
Yeah, the blasters.
I don't think that Kyrie's human because he gets his head smashed into what I can assume is a concrete wall, and then he's like, he just kind of gets out of it.
Yeah,
and he's not bleeding or anything. So I think he's not fully human.
Yeah.
Because no one would survive that. And I wonder why, like, this android would know about this particular person, because Kyrie, I guess, normally is thousands of strata down, mm-hmm. or at least hundreds. So you'd think that these people would never, like, cross paths. So there's some sort of origin to Kyrie that we don't know fully about.
If this is, like, thousands of years in the future or something, and
maybe he's got like
a database. Government already has a lot of information on us. Imagine how much info they'd have on us in the far future.
Oh, so you think he just recognizes them from like a face scan type thing?
It's probably like,
yeah,
these probably all, because the net terminal gene is like some sort of thing, some gene that humans have that helps them connect to whatever network this thing's all a part of.
Yeah, I guess so.
And it seems like only the administration's connected to it now. I thought it was like the Wi-Fi in a way. I'm like, they can't get any information.
At least with the scroll TikTok.
They can't stream anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like once they, no one had that gene anymore, no one can connect to it. And then that's how like the machines took over.
So you think people without the net terminal gene can't be like 100% monitored or controlled or anything like that?
I wasn't really thinking about that. It was more like, I mean, I guess you would probably be off the grid, you know, if you're...
In some sense.
If you're left out of sight of these things, you know, and you're far off the grid, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like it'd be hard.
Yeah. How lucky was it he fell on some pipes?
He was bound to hit something. It didn't. There wasn't a lot of this book where, like, there's nothing there,
it
you know?
It seems like he could have just fell into a void. But I don't know if that was just like an artistic choice to just like help focus like how big his fall is in this panel. But
well, it's clear that like there's emptiness mm-hmm. to an extent, or just like a part where there wasn't any building done.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
Like if he kept falling, I think he'd still hit something eventually.
Yeah, probably.
That's like the scale of this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. But I wonder if he'd die.
I don't know. Because
he still fell pretty fucking far.
Yeah, apparently he's a fucking Jedi or something.
He doesn't take fall damage. So then log 7, Kyrie starts walking around, you know, as he does. And there's a guy named Kumoi who finds him and brings Kyrie to his village to maybe heal some person named Yaki. And Kyrie's like, I'm not a healer, but he does help to stop a builder robot with a disruptor device that he has. And so Kumoi brings Kyrie to a bigger builder robot that will cause some problems for the village soon because they know it's coming. And so they stop it, but then the fancy android from before attacks Kyrie. Kyrie manages to shoot and kill the android, but Kumoi dies. And then Kyrie starts walking across like a big bridge to some other settlement named Akima. So a bit of lore in this chapter, I guess. There's healers, which uh-huh. I guess are just doctors. And I don't know, lots of crazy shit happens. But we find out about the builders, which I feel like is an important part of this world.
Yeah.
Because it seems like there's big robots that just build fucking for as long as they, as much and as long as they can.
Yeah, it like makes no sense. They're just kind of building on top of it.
Yeah,
it's just like infinite Legos.
Yeah, it pretty much is, but they look fucking crazy. So I could believe that they are building something.
Yeah, they're like,
I don't know what they're building.
Looking spider mechs.
Yeah, that are just so incredibly huge.
I find it hard to believe that the hunter thing from earlier, like, just found him. They just made eye contact down this hall.
Yeah, like, oh.
Like, he like fell out like a hole that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
And then out like a chute or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Fell for however long.
Yeah, who knows how many levels
he fell down. And assuming that this guy didn't jump out the same way and just took the stairs or whatever.
Like, how did he confirm that he was still alive at all?
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, going to be a problem soon.
Maybe he just caught him on his way home.
Yeah. But this is one of the cooler fight scenes, I feel like, because they're smashing through walls and shit. It's cool. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if this builder is actually building, because he's kind of crawling on stuff that's already built.
Just continuously building.
So it seems like there's the smaller builders are maybe going inside of the main structure, and then the big fucking builders just make the walls, or maybe they're
just going where they fit.
Yeah, pretty much. It seems like that's what the deal is. But then there's this huge bridge that isn't structurally supported, so it's just floating there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try not to think about these things too much, but it's like, I feel like this is trying to tell us something about this world, and like this weird outside area just doesn't have any gravity for some reason, you know? Because yeah. I think you could make an attempt to look, make this look like a bridge. It's like
windy.
Yeah, it's too. Like windy. It's fucking weird. What are these pipes under it do?
It could have like something that makes it float, like some sort of
like a jet or something.
Yeah.
On the bottom. I'm cool with that. You can give me that.
Just show me that.
But I'm just like, I just want to see something because I just see a bridge and it's kind of, it looks like a big snake.
Because like, you know, other bridges we've seen, they're pretty close to like structures. So the
right, they
connect, integrity the, is
yeah
possible.
They're like straight concrete looking.
But you beams. Can't see the other end of this bridge.
Yeah.
That's how fucking far away it is.
But the fact that it's windy at all makes me think, it's since it's not a straight bridge that's connected, you know, that it's just, it probably like fucking winds like that.
But. And he doesn't like look down or anything. So they're, maybe they're so high up that they're in like
space,
one of the hemispheres or something, to where like the gravity isn't like as heavy.
I'll take that too.
Yeah, I don't
just
know.
Say something.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I feel like even in the hemisphere, you'd still see the Earth, you know?
Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I did have from the beginning is like, what do they even eat? And
you saw him eat earlier.
We do see him eat in this issue, and it looks like some weird fucking ginger root shit.
Oh yeah, that's gross.
And I'm like,
it looks just like fungus. So
that's what we're eating now. We're not raising pigs or anything. Like,
did you watch the movie at all?
No, I didn't. Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I'm excited to see how that was
or hear about it. There was food. It was almost like rations or like MREs, you know, like they have in like the military or whatever. Right.
But
it was something that like could almost be like 3D printed in a way.
That's cool.
And it would come in this big block and then it'd break off and it'd be like these little like Lego pieces.
Mm.
But that'd be like it'd be like huge pieces and be as filling as like, I don't know, normal food, I guess.
Cool.
It doesn't look like it tastes good.
Yeah, but
probably very chalky.
In this world, it's probably just like you eat this and you won't die.
Yeah.
So the art, I think, of food and culinary stuff probably doesn't exist anymore. It's all just sustenance to survive and work.
Well, maybe on like the marketplace level of this place.
Yeah, it seems like there's some stuff there. That's where it seems the most cyberpunk-esque.
Right.
Where it's like some people have a life and maybe you can have like a wife and kids, maybe. I don't know why you'd succumb them to that kind of thing, but yeah.
The 8 or?
Yeah, I wrote some down. Hold on. Okay, so this is when he shoots the dude point blank.
Yeah.
And it doesn't explode in his face. Mm-hmm. And I do like that. The scene is just cool because it shoots like a structure that's like above him.
Mm-hmm.
And that falls down on him that he has to get away from. So cinematically, really cool. A lot of aura.
Yeah.
But why didn't it blow up in his face?
Yeah, because the hunter thing could have blown up, but maybe it was just like the.
I think it has to travel a certain distance.
So you think it goes like 500 yards each time?
I think we find out that the gun is used for like construction or some shit. Like they give it a name and it sounds like it has a practical use, not just for being a gun, even though it looks like a gun and shoots like a gun.
Uh huh.
So I think that it was a specific design where if I'm going to shoot something, it better clear. An explosion distance. Because
any direction he shoots it, it's going to hit something.
It will hit something.
And it'll go through anything he shoots.
But I think the bullet has a mechanism where it's like...
I don't even think it's a bullet. I think it's like a laser or something.
Like that could be laser too, but it has some sort of mechanism where it just won't fucking explode until it's reached a certain distance. At least.
Like it's a fucking like tube or something?
Like kind of. Like it'll have to be 100 feet away at least before it'll even have the potential to blow up. And then it'll just keep going until it hits something.
Like a safety precaution?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it's supposed to be.
Maybe.
Either way, it's pretty OP, his gun that he has.
Yeah, but he's also not OP, though. You know?
Right.
Like, everything
that
he encounters can survive in this world.
Yeah.
You know?
He got this leg up, and so that's why he's kind of walking out and doing this shit. Anyway, the next chapter is an X-log. that has three colored pages of him walking around. And I only have more questions. So I'm not even going to really cover it, but I do like how he colors this world.
Mm-hmm.
Then log 8, he's walking across this weird bridge. He gets somewhere eventually, and he finds a girl getting eaten by a worm thing. And so he saves her, and then there's like a tribe of people.
It's the Shai Hulud, Nathan.
The Shai Hulud that come in and they like escape with the girl before they actually like end up talking. And so Kairi finds a settlement and he travels with their transport dude to the cluster to find humans. And the transport gets attacked by the same tribe that attacked him before. And Kairi and the ship android are the only survivors. And then they get to the cluster and Kairi finds out that they're actually transporting dry bodies, which are mutated people. So he blows up the whole operation. And when he runs off, he finds the biggest city of people so far. Like an actual civilization of people, it looks like. So, some more world building here, but they kind of throw a lot at you, it seems like. Because there's this whole concept of dry bodies and these weird android things that pick them up and put them places.
Yeah.
And who knows what the fuck any of that means.
Yeah, like, what are they using those for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the transport is just like the UPS guy who is delivering something to like a restaurant, maybe?
Yeah.
Because these people look like they're eating noodles or something. So he hops onto this UPS truck thing.
That's just a big square.
And there's like super tall people. Like the person who works at the noodle shop is like
8 feet tall.
9 feet tall.
unless,
well, they did mention
everybody else is really short.
They didn't mention that Kairi was short, but
I don't think he's that short. I figure he's like 5'8".
Yeah.
Which is short to me.
Right. I don't know. I was thinking like maybe there's something different about the gravity up here, you know, to where
they're
less restricted and it's just easier for them to grow.
She seems like the only tall motherfucker here.
Well,
so maybe some people are just kind of tall.
Maybe. Because
I don't think that the dude on the transport ship is that tall himself.
Well, no, look at the little table. Like he's like hip height to this table. And then when you see Kairi, he's like as tall as the table.
Oh yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? So
damn, he's a little short stack.
Yeah. Bitches just be tall here.
I guess so. It seems kind of funny how underdesigned this transport ship is.
Yeah.
Compared to like everything else we've seen.
It looks like an external hard drive.
It does. Yeah, it really does. But then inside the ship is this weird fucking autopilot face.
I think this was like an android or like a cyborg who like just got broken down to the point where he's just a head and he was just integrated in the ship navigation system.
I figured this was like a Tesla, but they innovated past the touchscreen.
Oh, not like that.
They just put some fucking android's face there.
And it's not like a cute face.
No, it's not.
It's pretty fucking
It's
terrifying.
Also one of the scary fucking mannequin faces. And he's got like, dude, sometimes they like over detail the faces and I'm like, I don't want to see any of that. Like it looks like he has a vein on his forehead.
Yeah, what
Who
is that?
Who knows if that's what it is or if it's like a scuff, but yeah, it's really crazy. But this is like a really fun flying action sequence because he's like on top of the flying transport car for a little bit. And then sometimes they have to like maneuver the car in a way to where it's like sideways, and so he has to like stay on top of it. So I think like this part's pretty dynamic and fun.
Yeah, and then like a big fucking worm lands on him.
Yeah, what are the worms? that's a crazy part of this too. Oh, and then they say his gun is a graviton beam emitter.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me think that it has a use, but it is lasers, so I guess you're right. It's beams.
Hell yeah, brother.
And I like whatever these creatures are.
Yeah, those are so cool looking.
They're so fucking cool looking.
It looks very like
James Heron.
Either like BioShock or like Ben 10 looking.
That's a Ben 10 motherfucker for sure.
Yeah.
You know BioShock?
I've seen it.
Have you played it?
No, it was on my wish list because they have it for Switch.
It's good.
I think that'd be fun.
Which one? The first one?
Like both, I think. There's or there might have been a couple.
Yeah. I like BioShock.
Yeah, I could see it in fun.
Yeah, there's a character in it named Big Daddy. I think that maybe didn't age super well, but the rest of it's pretty cool.
I mean, there's a Big Daddy in Kick-Ass.
But I mean, that comic's a little bit more crude.
Right. And it's Nick Cage, you know.
What the fuck are these?
Big worms, big guys.
These like weird cocoon dudes, whatever those are. They can like deflect bullets, which is a little bit crazy.
Oh yeah, they're like these.
He's like, let me just shoot my graviton beam emitter at him, and then they just deflect it.
They're like telekinetic or something.
Yeah. And so he's like, well, that sucks, because that's the only thing I've been able to do.
Yeah.
To get out of a sticky situation. But yeah, so, they're pretty crazy looking.
So he gets like blown out of the room after he fights his little like, I don't know, slug guys or whatever.
Yeah.
And he like lands somewhere else again.
Yeah.
And then just goes on with his day.
He's like, well, I tried.
Like it didn't seem like he was in any kind of hurry to like not be followed or something. Yeah. Obviously, it only needed to take a couple turns in order to be out of sight or whatever. But
yeah, it's a good point. I think it's maybe supposed to be assumed they fell pretty far.
Right.
Maybe. And so he's like, oh, they probably aren't going to fall.
I feel like the androids have like just a really good, you know, blueprint of this place.
Yeah,
you
probably.
Know? So like he went through this wall, so he probably only fell like 5 feet.
His trajectory is like maybe.
He's probably still alive, you know.
Let's go look for him.
Right.
And then the last chapter. So Kairi finds out that the city is run by Bioelectric Inc., which is a company that kills the workers that disobey the company. And there are some exterminators that find Kairi. He runs and he falls in like a sewer system thing where he finds an ex-chief scientist that can control the security systems. And so Kairi takes him to the server with all the genetic information stored there so that he can find somebody with the net terminal gene or whatever. And then he has to fight off some more exterminators. Kairi goes to this thing called the Cyberbrain, which is a big android for some reason and it's protected by guards. Kairi's arm is like sliced off, but is saved by like a random girl named Saibo, who is a scientist at Bioelectric who's defected. And so Kairi kills the Cyberbrain and he just kind of keeps walking with this girl that he just met to go find the net terminal gene.
Yeah, it's the first time he meets someone and then continues like the story.
He's
with
like,
the
you
person.
Could help me and we have similar goals here, even though it seems like this entire place sucks. So you think it'd be easier to find people that are like-minded?
Yeah.
But crazy shit. Whatever this is, an exterminator.
Security guard.
Looked crazy. Looks awesome. I'm glad it exists. And I like this weapon that this girl has.
The backpack thing? Oh, no. These, like, insane scythe things.
These, like, crazy like, long scythes that can connect in the middle.
That's terrifying.
It's fucking awesome. So, this is why I think this shit's cool, because, you know, he does stuff with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's neat. And this page where the big cyber brain guy gets shot and then he like falls through the wall is really cool looking.
Cyber brain?
Yeah. The big guy. Hold on, I'm trying to find it. This one. It's when he like shoots this big android thing.
Oh, yeah. And like falls over and through a wall.
Yeah, falls through a wall. So there's like really big moments like that in this last chapter, which is cool.
So he's not like indestructible or anything because his arm gets cut off.
Yeah. Pretty easily. Seems like. I mean, I don't know what's in this blade or what it's made of.
And he was like scaling this wall that had like a really small edge or a ledge that he was walking on. And when he sees those like other hunter people like trying to get him, he like tries jumping for something and then ends up falling into this big tube.
Yeah.
And who knows how far he falls, but it's just fine.
Yeah, he's
at the bottom.
He's had bigger falls in this book alone. So.
Right. In his first rodeo with Vaughn.
He mentions that he doesn't know where he got the gun. And I think that's confusing. Because it's like, you don't know where you got the most powerful weapon fucking ever.
Yeah. Did you pick up that his gun, like his gun's bullets deflect other bullets?
No, I didn't see that.
So he's got bullets coming at him, right? And then these are his bullets that he's shooting, but then the path of all the other bullets go somewhere else.
Oh, cool.
So maybe like the thrust or power of the bullets that he's got are just sending the rest off course.
Hell yeah. Makes sense to me.
But yeah. Sure. I'm
game. Like,
things happen. I'm just trying to calculate it and figure it out. Like,
yeah. At this point, we're along for the ride. You know, shit's going to surprise us.
I'm like, we're almost done.
Yeah. Keep going.
And then the girl or whatever has this cool backpack, and it is a cool backpack. I don't even know what all this shit is that she's got.
Do you think when he
looks like she's got a generator or something?
Do you think when he's designing this shit, he just kind of like he's just kind of
it's probably improving, rough,
I think, as he's drawing.
Absolutely.
But do you think he
there's no purpose for each of these tubes?
I know that there's no purpose, but do you think he regrets it when he's like, oh, I gotta draw this woman again
with maybe a big when backpack. He goes to ink?
Yeah,
he's like, oh.
He's like, what the fuck was I thinking?
Like, this is going to be so sick, though.
Yeah. Yeah, props to him for not fucking cutting any corners, because there's a lot of shit. There's a lot of pipes and tubes and shit.
I don't know. Maybe he did, and his pencils were worse, you know?
Yeah. It is a crazy-looking backpack thing, though.
So,
and I like
later, his arm is in some sort of, like, machinery.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like it's reattaching his arm.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty nifty.
Yeah, that's convenient. I like that they're like, okay, let's go up to the top or whatever. And the top is just this like impossibly long, windy staircase of this like pillar.
Yeah, it seems so high up.
No guardrails here. You'd think you'd get dizzy fucking going around in circles around this thing, you know?
I'm just thinking about like rust.
Yeah. You know? Who's. When's the last time somebody walked on this staircase?
Yeah, they have people constantly building on this thing, but is there someone checking up on it?
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I think the like biggest set of stairs I've ever climbed was like 10 stories high.
What, in Vietnam?
In Malaysia.
Malaysia.
It was like a staircase that went into like a mountain, and there's like a shrine in the mountain. It was pretty cool. But so many fucking stairs, and I like lose stamina, and my feet do not go up as high every single time. So you'd kick it, you'd kick the next step forward and fucking fall down.
It's mostly just lifting your knees.
It really is. But you like start to think like, oh, I'm good at the pace that I'm going. And you like sort of take it for granted, and then you fucking trip and fall.
Right. So
anyway, that was blame.
That was blame. No back matter here.
Yeah.
What do you rate this?
Dude, this is not very good, but it's awesome.
like it's like not dense or anything, and there's a lot of confusing things in it, you know, but
like I'm trying to think of a movie that's visually pretty cool, but it's just fucking nonsense otherwise, and I don't know what that would be, because there's nothing like this, I feel like. But I would rate this some 3D printed food. I don't know.
I'd give it like, so they had that like fungus that they're eating.
Oh yeah.
And one of the times I went to the Renaissance Festival, I got like a portobello mushroom sandwich or something.
Yeah, I got that too once.
And I get a bite of it, I'm like, it's just a mushroom.
This burger
there.
Is mushroom.
Yeah.
And it's only a big mushroom.
And it was like too much, you know, and not that I paid any money for this, but it was just like, I didn't like hate it and I ate it, you know,
mm-hmm.
But it's not what I was expecting either.
I'd give this an MRE, I think.
I think if you added a burger in there with like the big ass mushroom, I'd be all in for that.
God, it'd be so filling.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I prefer filling, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't want a light burger, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd give this an MRE. It's just kind of like a bleak. I don't know. Like, it's food.
Yeah.
You could eat it and consume it. But maybe if it was like a cool MRE, I don't know.
Yeah, but like, if it kept going at the pace that this is going, it seems exhausting to finish.
Right.
Because it's not...
There's like a good amount of volumes of this.
Six.
Yeah, that's a lot. Especially if they're this size.
Right.
It just seems like they are. So, who knows?
So, yeah. Anyway, what do you think League of Comic Geeks rated this?
I'd be shocked if it was in the fours. but I think it's a high 3 because of the art. So probably like a 3.6.
Got a 4.3.
What?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Perhaps not a lot of ratings or something.
Yeah, or that would have to be the case. Someone had to hunt down this book and was like, this shit's awesome.
Or, I don't know, maybe just manga people are just into this, you know?
They must be. I mean, yeah.
We didn't do the Comic Book Geeks rating for The Summer Hikaru Died. What do you think that would be?
Probably lower than this, which is sad because I like that book more.
Mm.
Probably 4. Four even.
It got a 4.5.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's some...
It's an Eisner nominee.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Okay, that's good.
There's pretty good.
Justness in the world, I guess.
Yeah.
Cool.
But let's get into the poll list, Conan.
Show in your box.
The poll list, the poll list. What did you shove in your box?
What did you get this week, Dan?
What week are... Is this?
This
we're recording early, but...
Today?
Oh, like what I actually get today?
Yeah.
Okay, now let me think. Absolute Green Lantern, Green Lantern Corps, Romeo and Juliet, and Godzilla. That's a nice. Big one for the week. I passed on Firestorm because I was getting a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's another book.
This is mine, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you wanted Romeo and Juliet and Godzilla, but they didn't have it for you, so...
Yeah, I like didn't request it.
Okay.
But we got Archie and Army of Darkness 3.
Yeah. Archie and Army of Darkness 3. That's the other one I got.
Good cover.
Dude, the
Frank
other...
Frank Abia.
Yeah, he's so good. But the other cover is like a typical Archie looking style. And yeah. It's funny like comparing those two side by side. Because Francesco Francavilla is so awesome. And then, you know, I got you your birthday present.
Oh my goodness, it's not even my birthday.
It's going to be next week, but I don't know if we'll see you on your birthday. So I wanted to give it to you now. And then also Sophie spoiled it, so whatever.
She just spoiled that
I got a book.
But that's what I asked for. So it's like.
So close your eyes. I'm going to give it to you.
Wait, you didn't wrap it?
No, because I got it today.
Okay.
Well, close your eyes. Hold out your hands. I want you to feel it and try and guess what the hell it is.
Okay. You got it from the store?
Yeah. Kind of big. So you might need
to. Oh, shit. Fuck. I'm scared. It's got a ribbon.
It's big enough to have a ribbon bookmark.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, what is this? Oh, that's a mic.
That's a mic.
Hardcover. It's like
show bigger. The camera. Show the camera.
Is this the front?
That's the front.
Okay, it's like almost like a gallery. I don't know if this is the gallery size. I'm not sure how that feels.
What's a gallery?
Like, you know, there'd be like gallery editions,
like the art books. Of. Okay,
that'd be just bigger.
Let's say that like, is.
What is this it an is. Art book?
If it was, who would you want it to be from?
Darwin Cook.
That would be cool. They had that. You're not far off, though.
If only you got that. Whoa! The Mike Allred.
Mike Allred art book.
Art book. That's very cool. I think it's like the one that I have over there.
Do you have the same one?
I think so.
No fucking way. Ah, shit. Wait, is it the Marvel art? Is that one?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Ah, shit. I wonder if I could return it. Yeah.
Yep.
No. Well, he's not the one that checked me out. Damn. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't know you had that one.
Yeah, I thought because I remember that's where I got the puzzle.
Yeah, I thought you only got the puzzle.
No, that's crazy. Mm. It was like I guess I could have, but no. I'm sorry. That was really generous of you.
Yeah.
Do you want an art book?
Nah, let me take it back.
See if you can return it or something.
Okay, I'll get you something on your actual birthday.
That's at $80 on it. Did you pay $80 for that?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I wanted to be special. I didn't know what to get you.
I do appreciate the thought because that is very cool.
Yeah.
I would almost get it. I would get it for myself and I did.
Yeah. So at least I was on the money.
Yeah.
Forgot about it.
Like I clocked that it was like an art book.
Yeah, you did. Because it's big enough to be one of those.
Yeah. Anyway.
What'd you get?
Just Archie and Army of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had like Godzilla, Romeo and Juliet, but like that came out like sooner than I thought it was. So I didn't like order it.
Right.
You know,
before the cutoff. $8.
That is pretty steep for those. Mm-hmm. I think I'd be more inclined to get the Odyssey one.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're doing the reading thing for the next episode, but I read Dune, the graphic novel.
Cool.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Is it the like first book? But
yeah,
graphic it's like novelized.
Yeah, it's like the first movie. It like cuts off at the same spot.
Oh, really?
There's three of them out in total. That's like, it's essentially cut up the same way as like the movie is.
Yeah, seems dense.
It's not as dense as it looks.
People yapping.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know if I would like Dune if I read that first before watching the movie.
Yeah,
you know, but like they're like straight to the point with the dialogue.
That's
good. You know, and it's like kind of informative. Like, I feel like I know what's going on a little bit better than like the movie.
Honestly, that's good because
yeah. And it's like not just like a copy of the movie. Like the designs and stuff that people have are like a lot different.
Uh-huh.
It's like kind of goofy.
Yeah. They're like still, what do they call them? Stillwater suits or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Those
look different than the movie.
Yeah. And in this, there's like thought boxes,
mm-hmm.
like, and so you kind of know what people are thinking, and I think that adds like a lot to it.
Yeah.
I don't remember when or why I bought this.
So you've had it for a while.
I've had it for a little while, but you know, I had to knock it out.
Cool.
Is that bad?
I know I'll definitely need to rewatch at least Dune 2 before like Dune 3 comes out. So
might do a little marathon. Well, not like same day, because who's got the time?
But yeah,
in the focus.
And it comes out the same day as Doomsday.
I think they might.
Who do you think is going to budge?
I think Dune's going to budge.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think Marvel's going to big dick it?
They might.
No, I think they're scared, honestly. I think they'll move it up.
I think they should stay, but they might move it.
If they stay, it'd be so awesome.
Yeah, like I'll see the double feature, but
mm-hmm. Well, Barbenheimer it again. Do you remember how much of a disaster that was? Kind of.
Yeah, we went to like
we drove so far.
Like someone who lives in Queen Creek booked tickets in Phoenix,
which is like an hour for them.
It's like the worst parking lot. You have to pay for parking if you don't get your ticket
validated. And the movie theater was on top of a different building. So you had to like go up stairs or an elevator to get there. It was so weird.
And then like the first theater was recliners, but the second theater, which was in the same theater, were just like the normal chairs or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we'd left to go eat in between the movies, but we didn't have enough time to actually eat. So we all just had one beer and then left.
And we're like, oh shit. And
like we could have just had a beer at the movie theater.
Yeah, it would have been easier.
It was nice to, you know, stretch your legs and get out, you know.
So funny. And Ben tried to order an icy, and they didn't have icies, even though on the menu, the digital menu that they had showed a picture of an icy.
Oh, they just like physically didn't have an icy machine. Thought they were just out, or like they.
I don't think they had the capability to provide an icy.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy.
Did he pay for an icy?
Yeah.
Oh, because it was like the little digital ordering thing. Yeah, because AMC is weird. I saw a TikTok where someone was saying that AMC had the best popcorn. I'm like, you're high and you don't live in Arizona, clearly.
Yeah, true.
But anyway, I watched the movie Blame.
How was that?
It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's better than the book.
I could see that.
Because it's like an hour and a half or whatever. And it's like, such a far departure from like what this is.
I figured it would be that way just because
it's
hard to translate.
There was like parts that were included in the movie, but it basically felt like a rewrite, like someone who writes movies wrote something based off of this.
That seems good.
It felt like it was only like those like exterminator things with the faces that were like the bad guys. There wasn't any kind of like assassin looking. Robots. There wasn't as much walking, but you know those like siblings that had those suits on?
Yeah.
There was like a group of those people.
Cool.
And they were like looking for food or something.
Did they shoot the nest looking thing? With the parademons?
You know, I didn't give it like 100% of my attention.
That's fair.
It was like, it's a great kind of like background movie in a way.
What'd you watch it on?
It's on Netflix. It's like a Netflix.
What?
It's like a Netflix movie.
What? That's crazy.
Yeah. It's kind of like that animated, not animated, but like 3D looking animation.
Love that.
And it's kind of cool and kind of works for this.
I could see how that would be the case because this is very, like, the backgrounds are very blocky, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if I have that much to say about it, but this came out in, like, 2017, apparently.
Mm.
So it's like, oh, it's just been a thing.
So do you find out more about this world than we do in the book that you remember? Or, like, how does that end?
So it ends because he goes back. They, like, go back to, like, whatever village or whatever that they live in. And then he, like, okay, so there was one android that we didn't see in this book. And it's, like, killing people. And so he, like, stops that android and saves the day. And then just moves on because he's still looking for the terminal gene or whatever.
So he doesn't find it in the course of the movie?
Right.
Okay.
And so then one of the people in that group, like, it flashes to her granddaughter or something. And because, like, I guess, like, the story of Kairi, or his name's Achille in the movie for some reason. I thought I was just pronouncing it wrong.
Yeah.
But it's actually, like, K-I-L-L-Y or whatever.
Mm.
And so her granddaughter was, like, doing a voiceover thing saying, like, oh, we've all heard about the stories of Killy or whatever, and because they still live in this world and doesn't seem like anything changes, it's possible that he hasn't found it and saved the day or whatever, or saved the world. So
he just did a nice thing, it seems like. Or he saved some people.
There was, so the lady at the end of the girl at the end of this with, like, the backpack and shit, she was a part of it and seemed like she wanted his help with something, you know, and so they were leaving the civilization, but then he heard the destruction going on, so he goes back because he's human or whatever.
Got it.
So yeah, it was whatever. I guess the best time to watch this would have been, like, for this episode if you had time, but, like, it's really not, you don't have to, like, go out of your way.
Yeah, I didn't make time really for have the time for it this time.
But yeah, I mean, I had nothing to watch. And so anyway, Nathan, what are you going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
Berserk.
Berserk, baby.
The non-Keanu Reeves version.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. There's a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. Tell us.
Who do you blame for this episode? Because I wanted to do Solo Leveling.
I'll just watch it and then we'll be on the same page, you know. Anyway, email in at trailerspod@gmail.com.
Give us a good manga, save for next time.
What, we can do another manga month?
We could do, I mean, this probably won't be the last manga we ever do.
That's true. All right, goodbye.
Goodbye.